As we go through 1 and 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. Now, it's not words that we use too often in our everyday language. So what I want us to think about is living stones, building bridges. So let's just say that together. Living stones, building bridges. All right. So a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jeff had a leadership conference at the Ware Center in Lancaster. And can you pull that photo up? One of the speakers there, her name was Geraldine Vetterhofer, talked about her hometown in Strasbourg, France, where this basilica, where this cathedral is. And it struck me because she said that cathedral, so I looked up the history of that cathedral. It was actually started in about 1015 AD, and then burned to the ground. And somewhere toward the end of the 11th century, they started rebuilding it. They started building it. And initially it was funded by a prince, but the prince was, he lost his power. And the bourgeoisie, the middle class, and the people of the town began to fund it. One of the designers of the towers was actually penniless, but donated his horse so that it could be funded for this. What's important to me about this structure is that it took over 300 years to build. And if you look, a number of people were involved in building it. You had designers, masons, architects, carpenters, artisans in stained glass and metalwork, woodworkers, scientists, and it was funded by everyone from paupers to princes. And if we think about that, it took 300 years to communicate that vision. And the reason that people wanted to give money, give funds, give their work toward it is because it would be lasting and it would be greater than they. If we think even on the most positive sense that a generation could work on that for 50 years, it would still take 6 generations to build. And I just want us to imagine, if men can do that with brick and mortar, what can God do with flesh and blood? As we look today in our passages in 1 Corinthians, I won't cover every chapter. We'd have to have another meal. The first passage that Dell read in the beginning of 12, there are a variety of gifts, a variety of ministries, and a variety of effects or workings. But they're given by the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. They all have the same source. And they're all given for the benefit of the body, of everyone, the individual and the community. And he begins to break down some of these giftings. Now, this is the thing with gifts. Gifts are given. We cannot control what we are given. If that were the case, we would get less socks at Christmas. We cannot control the gifts. They are given to us by the Holy Spirit. And the first gift he names is wisdom. And this is, Garland says that wisdom is God-given insight into the mysterious purposes and workings of God in and through Jesus Christ. Someone close to God can communicate the wisdom of God, and it affects your life in such a way that it sticks with you. It's similar to knowledge. Knowledge gives insights into what God is doing in the world, your life, or in your church. You know, sometimes people have to speak these things into us because they can see him, but we cannot, and it speaks life into us. About 10 years ago, as part of a men's Bible study, we were meeting in a garage heated by a wood stove. I was very discontent. At work, I was a bear to be around. I'd hit things often. And I remember a gentleman praying over me because I asked for prayer for this. I'm like, this is not how I'm called to be. And he said, the next time you close your fist, he said, open your hand and begin to pray with an open hand. And this is the thing, when people speak life into us, it doesn't matter where it's at, it doesn't matter who says it, it sticks with us. A gentleman's name was Ken Alexander. I haven't spoken to him in probably 8 years, at least. So we have wisdom, knowledge, faith. And this isn't the general faith that we all have toward Christ. This is a faith, as it says in 13, a faith to move mountains. It's a faith that produces results. It's a confidence in God who is unseen to bring about what is seen. I had a cousin who was going to lose his license, and I can't remember if it was an accident, speeding, I can't recall. And his grandmother was speaking to his lawyer. And some of these stories I may have shared before, so if I have, tell me after the service so that I can shift. She said to his lawyer, what's the probability of he losing his license? And she said, the lawyer said, it's pretty high. And she said, well, give me a percentage. And she said, of about 95%. And his grandmother said, so there's a 5%, he'll keep his license. Okay, I'll start praying. And he never lost his license. There are some people who, that faith to move mountains, they have an intimate knowledge or a nudge from God that they can trust him over and above what is seen, over and above the obstacle in front of them. There's the gift of healing. This is a specific gift. It's the commentator I read, Garland, said this isn't like moving into a healing ministry. This isn't for profit. This is a nudge that can move through anyone. And what's interesting, I saw another man, well, it would have been 23 years ago now, been going to the chiropractor for 23 years. And at church, the minister asked if anyone had any physical request to raise their hand, and he raised his hand that day. And the minister said, okay, now those around them, you see their hands raised. Everyone was standing at this point. You see their hands raised. Surround them and begin to stretch your hands out and begin to pray for them. Don't ask them what they need prayer for. Just pray and believe. And he said, as these people started praying, his back got real hot. And he hadn't been to the chiropractor since. And that wasn't an individual that it moved through, but a group of people. He made his request known to God, and other people believed that it would come to pass. There's the gift of effecting miracles. I want to say one more thing about healing. I spoke to Pastor Mark at Grace EC down the road here on Friday. And he said that they had an anointing service partially coming out of the revival services that we had. He felt like they should have an anointing service at his church. But it was beat up going into it, didn't know what God would do. And as they opened this, a couple things happened. People kept coming to the point where he couldn't preach his sermon. Don't get excited. I know you are like, we need an anointing service. And also, a woman that had been struggling with her vocal cords for, it sounded like some time. Like she can't speak loud, she has to whisper. Was also prayed and anointed. And on Monday or Tuesday, she went to a specialist to get a second opinion, and the specialist saw nothing wrong with her vocal cords. Whatever had been seen in the past was no longer there. And she called Pastor Mark to let him know this, that she had felt she had been healed. So there's another gifting, affecting miracles. Barclay says this had to do with exorcisms, which I could tell you stories about also from my seminary professors. So miracles isn't necessarily healing. It can be, but it can also be the supernatural in the natural. My grandfather told me a story one time. A gentleman was touring the country with his dog. He needed some kind of healing, some kind of rest. And so he decided to explore the U.S. with his dog. And he was staying with a woman in a trailer and her family out in the Midwest somewhere, and a tornado was bearing down on their location. And he said this woman went out to the gate and fell to her knees and began to pray that that storm would shift so that her family and her dwelling could be safe. She didn't have much. And as the gentleman stood there, he watched this tornado shift direction away from her trailer. This is affecting miracles. Prophecy. Prophecy is, it can be a rebuke or a warning. It can be advice or guidance. It's a forthtelling. We often think of prophecy as like telling the future. Sometimes it's just telling the truth. A prophet knows the heart and mind of God and can communicate into a person or a people's life. Galen Hackman spoke here last year at some point. If you want to know a prophet, find Galen Hackman, or if you get a chance, listen to his son, Nate. They both have a way of forthtelling, meaning they'll present the truth to you, and it will convict you, and you'll want to be upset at them, but can't. Then there's the gift of distinguishing spirits. I know this is a lot of information. Distinguishing spirits test what is said. Is this of God or is it not? And so later on in chapter 14, when he says, if a prophet speaks, he'll be weighed against other prophets. They're testing what is said. Paul said the Bereans were of more noble character because they would dig into what he said to make sure it was accurate. Distinguishing the spirits allows us to test, is this of God, is this of Jesus, or is it not? And then there are tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, evidently in the Corinthian church, this was like a high gifting in their view. And you got to remember that they wanted to ascertain a higher spiritual plane. So if they could speak in tongues and other people couldn't, well, they weren't as close. There's a reason that Paul put it at the bottom of the list, according to the commentators. He's like, yeah, you have all this. Oh, yeah, and there's also tongues. And what tongues was, people would speak in a different language, and then there would need to be an interpreter. Now this comes out of Acts, when the Holy Spirit falls on the assembly. Jews from all over the world had gathered here. And they, on that day, when the Holy Spirit fell, they heard the gospel in their own native tongue by people who were never trained to listen, trained in that language. In the Corinthian assembly, people were speaking in tongues, but then there needed to be an interpreter. And Paul puts this into perspective. He says, I would rather speak 5 intelligent words to build up the body than 1,000 or 10,000 in another language. Because it's not intelligible. We wouldn't get it without an interpretation. But see, these are all gifts, and they're all given to us by the same Spirit. None is higher than the other, because they all come from the same source. But all are needed to edify the body. All are needed to build each other up. So what gifts do you have? Oftentimes our gifts are recognized and called out or confirmed by others. The old brethren way of calling a minister, they would call a minister out of the body. To the point where if a person went to their elders and said, I'm feeling led into the ministry, the elders could say, no, you're not. we disagree. And this is the thing. I think gifts are often given in clumps. And this keeps us open. I think so often we want to figure out our call, our role, our position in the church. That we can limit God. If we can figure out our position, then we don't have to do other things. But when gifts are given, if they're given by the Spirit, if you're feeling nudged, be open to that nudge. And sometimes that's a thought. Sometimes it's a message on social media or a sign or a license plate. Be open to that. Wait, isn't it exciting that healing could come through one of us? Because God wants to use us at that moment. That a word of life can be spoken by one of us to either a believer or a non-believer to call them to Christ. You see, when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's just like the fruit of the Spirit. We have these things because He's part of us. When we move into chapter 14, Paul says, some of you have a psalm or a teaching or a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. All of these needed to be a part of their service. But what was happening, because they wanted to be in a position of authority, because they wanted to be looked upon well, some people would take over the meeting week after week after week after week. And Paul's saying, you're actually limiting the way the Spirit can move. If you speak in a tongue and there's no interpretation, then keep silent. That's meant for you. Has anyone been in a Pentecostal assembly where they've spoken in tongues and interpreted? My wife has, because I used to go to an Assembly of God. There have been times where people would speak in a tongue and there'd be no interpretation, and that's exactly what the pastor would say. That's meant for you. Essentially, keep it to yourself. You see, people were competing to speak over one another, and it was creating chaos in their worship services. And Paul's saying, don't do that. If someone else begins to speak, then you be silent and let them speak. Speak in turn, respect one another, and anticipate that the Spirit will move through other people. And what I found encouraging in verse 31, it says, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. To be a worship leader can be nerve-wracking. Sometimes people feel unprepared or ill-equipped. We don't know enough. We have a very high position of knowledge in our culture, to the fact where it can be a stumbling block in the church. But this is the thing. You have the Holy Spirit. God's moving through you right now. Each and every person here could be a worship leader. Each and every person here can strengthen the body through what God is doing through you and in you. And I've seen it when new people step up and they lead, people are encouraged. Even if that person's like, I have no idea what I did. All can prophesy to strengthen and encourage the body. So what was the answer in this Corinthian culture of competitiveness, partisanship, and self-righteousness? Right in the middle of 12 and 14 is the chapter that we all know. In the middle of these giftings, they need to be done in love. If they are not done in love, chapter 13 tells us they're useless. And I want us to think about this. You know, so where the giftings are out of our control, love, it's an action. Love is patient, kind. It is not arrogant or boastful or rude. It does not insist on its own way, but rejoices in the truth. All of these things are within our control. Just like gifts, I think sometimes they need honed. I have patience, but I also have a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old. You know, sometimes it needs honed. And think about what that does for the body. Anyone ever say something to you that was true, but say it in such a way that you would unwilling to accept it? You need to do this. And you're like, pound sand. Go away. When it's done in love, sometimes it's still hard to receive, but the seed is planted. You see, love does what's best for the other, no matter how it affects the self. It's what makes us suffer when other people suffer, rejoice when other people rejoice, and speak truth when it needs to be heard, even when it's hard. And in today's world, where many people are seeking friends and followers, purpose and community, Christ calls to us and through us to bring others to Him. You see, like the cathedral, all are needed and can be useful for building up His church. It's not dependent upon a time or location. Whether we meet here or out in the field, we are still His church. Whether we meet here or in another body in town, we're still His church. We are not restricted by the walls here. And this is so important for today's society. So many people are looking for purpose. They're looking for joy. They're looking for community. They're looking for connection to history, to the future, to the present. I looked up some statistics. From 1999 to 2016, on the national average, suicide went up 25%. In 2018, 10.3 million Americans misused opioids. Now some of us may, well, most of that was heroin. 800,000 was heroin, leaving the other 9 plus million who abused it in another way, most likely a legal somewhat way. People are searching for purpose, for value, for worth, as Dell prayed. They're searching for community and love. And this is what Christ offers us. That when we come under His headship, He gives us gifts that we can use to build others up. He gives us one another that we can lean on when we go through the good times and through the bad times. And we are deeply rooted in history, and we have this vision for the future that when the fullness of time comes, He will come back and gather us all. No matter our age, race, ethnicity, the time we existed, we will all be in the fullness of God together. You see, knowledge, wisdom, wealth, without faith are useless. But with love, they produce a crop 30, 60, and 100 fold. And God is in all of these aspects. So how is God calling you to contribute to His church? What gifts has He given? Which are predominant? Which need honed? I appreciate the grace that you all have given me. I remember, and sometimes I'm reminded, of the first time I preached up here. And hopefully there's been a little change, a little growth in the last 7 years. But like the builders of the great cathedral, we can put our hope, faith, and trust in the One that is greater than us. And we can use our gifts to build one another up. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that wherever two or three are gathered, you are in our midst. We pray, Lord, that you continue to move in and through us, that we may hone our gifts, that we may strengthen one another, that we may call others to you who may be lost, who may be searching, who may lack hope, that they can come to know you through our words, through our actions. We pray, Lord, that you not only move through this body, but wherever two or three are gathered in East Pete, Landisville, Salonga, Mannheim, and the surrounding area, that as we seek to work together, as we seek to encourage one another, those who don't know you can look at us and glorify you who are in heaven, knowing that we come from different backgrounds, knowing that we come from different areas, different beliefs. We pray, Lord, that you continue to move through us, that we can use our gifts to build up your church. And we lift this all to you in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope the message you've just heard has brought you closer to Jesus. If it has, or if you'd like to learn more about God or about His Word, the Bible, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at area code 717-898-0181. Or you can email us at office@hemfieldcob.org. If you happen to be in the Lancaster or Mannheim area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Sunday mornings. You can find details and directions at hemfieldcob.org. And now, from all of us at Hemfield Church of the Brethren, we'd just like to wish you and yours a wonderful and blessed week. The music in this recording has been graciously provided by and performed by Kevin McLeod, www.incompetech.com.